celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I have decided to share about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In my sharing, I'll be looking at two individuals who were translated into heaven alive without dying in the Old Testament. I'll also be looking at a prophecy, that an Old Testament prophecy that prophesied about Jesus dying and rising from the dead. And then we're going to look at what the New Testament has to say about Jesus' resurrection. And to look at the insight that it provides with respect to the type of body that we will have when we too are resurrected from the dead, for those who die in Christ. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we're alive today, and that, Lord, we can celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Father, we pray that as we look into your word, that you'll give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know more and more what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power that's available to us as believers, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every hindrance to the study of your word. I bind every source of spiritual blindness now in our midst, in the name of Jesus. And I command every such hindrance and blindness to loose us now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, blessed Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, we ask you to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to come and convince persons of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, we just bless and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, you're gonna track with me in the Bible. Alright, so let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to look at verses 21 to 24. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we're going to look first at the life of a man called Enoch. Enoch. You know, it's very important that even as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we have a wonderful hope that if we remain in Christ, that we too will experience that resurrection. You know, it's very important to note and to be reminded that there are others that have gone before us. Hallelujah. So it says, Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. Now imagine that. 65. At 65, nowadays, people are retiring from having children. But Enoch had his first child at 65. It says, and Enoch walked with God. I want you to note that. As we look at how God blessed Enoch, we need to focus on the fact that Enoch walked with God. That means that God was Lord of his life. He loved God. He served God. He obeyed God. He delighted in God. Amen? Hallelujah. So he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Praise God. It says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not, for God took him. Now, what does the scripture mean when it says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him? Praise God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. And it's, you know, it's so exciting to know that scripture informs us of scripture. Scripture tells us what other passages mean. Yeah, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. Alright, it says, watch this now. Remember, we want to know what it means. What did the scripture mean when it said that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him? Hebrews 11 explains. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Wow. Amen? That's what it means. He did not die. And was not found. They searched the earth for Enoch. People took time out to search for Enoch, and they did not find him. Why? Because he was translated into heaven. He did not die. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, because God had translated him. And note this, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you have a testimony? What is your testimony? You see, all of us would like eternal life. But what this passage is telling us is that we cannot partake of eternal life unless we have a testimony. And what was his testimony? That he pleased God. Amen? That he pleased God. Is your life pleasing to God? Do you each day wake up and say to yourself, how can I please God? When you have a decision to make, do you ask the question, how can I please God? Say, Enoch, he wanted to please God. And he pleased God. And let me tell you, you can't please God unless you decide in your heart that you're going to please God. Amen? You have to set out in life to please God. It can't be an afterthought. Every day we have to set out to please God. Amen? So, you know, you say, wow, I would love to be translated. I would love never to see death. But he had a testimony. He had a testimony. Amen? And every one of us, God desires us to have a testimony. We must have a testimony. Faith without works is dead. Must have a testimony. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. So there, you know, what that tells us to, you know, is that there is a heaven. And Enoch is up there. Incidentally, Enoch's son, Methuselah, he's the human being that has lived the longest. Nobody has lived longer than him. And when I looked at it this morning, I said, wow. Amen. His father had a testimony, and God blessed his son with long life. Amen. So for those who are parents, or you are not yet parents, you know, it's very important to note that as parents, when we bless the Lord, when we please the Lord, when we have a testimony, the blessings will flow to our children. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In verse 1 it says, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. Wow. Heaven is for real, man. Heaven is for real. The devil might tell you that heaven is a fake, that heaven is a figment of your imagination. But let them know, let the devil know that heaven is for real. When people come to you and say you're just religious, there is no heaven, there is no hell, let them know that Enoch went to heaven and Elijah went to heaven, and you desire to go to heaven, and you wouldn't mind if they go to heaven too. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Okay, skip down to verse 11. And, you know, between 1 and 11, you know, Elisha recognized that Elijah was going to be taken by the Lord. And he wanted Elijah's anointing. And Elijah said to him, if you are with me and see when I am going up, you will get the anointing. Right? So, but that's another message. Okay, verse 11. It says, then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that's Elijah and Elisha, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses. Now, these were not normal horses. Amen. They were God-sent horses. They were supernatural horses. Hallelujah. Because, quite frankly, the horses that we have can't take you up to heaven. Amen. You need some supernatural horses. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it says, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and he cried out, my father, my father. He was his spiritual father. He was his teacher. The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Amen. So Elijah was translated into heaven. He was taken up by a whirlwind. And that whirlwind was from God. Hallelujah. Into heaven. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we now see that there are two persons that have gone to heaven. They never died while they were here on earth. And some people believe, you know, in the book of Revelation, there are two witnesses that appear who have supernatural power from God. Lethal supernatural power.
And some people believe that it's Enoch and Elijah, and that these two men were eventually killed, and they feel that they had to come back to earth in order to die. But I don't know, that's just people thinking. Amen. I can't say. It says in Psalm 16 and verse 10. Psalm 16 and verse 10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Amen? Now, so it speaks about, it's two different parts of a person that passage is talking about. It's talking about one soul, which is your feelings, your spirit, your emotions. And it is also talking about the other part of the human body, which is, the flesh, whether or not it will suffer corruption or whether or not it will rotten. Right? So, some people say that they don't believe in spirit, soul, and body. They don't believe that when you die, that there is a separation from the body, and that there is a part of us that will never die, and that the body rottens and returns to the soil. In the NLT version, it says, and this is interesting, it says, "For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave." Now, among the dead, at that time, what happened was that when it says, "Thou shalt leave my soul among the dead," even the righteous, when the righteous died, their souls went down into the earth, and they were actually imprisoned. Even the spirits of righteous men were imprisoned before Jesus died on the cross for us, because Satan had the power over death and the grave. Amen? But, praise God, thank God, it's different now. Amen? I really don't like life. I've never been down there, but I really don't want to go that way. Amen? I don't like that. I like being up here. Amen? I like being up here. I don't like down there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, but listen. Let's look at the King James Version again. It says, the NLT. "For you will not leave my soul among the dead." Dead here means those who are spiritually dead. Those who are not born again. Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This morning my wife reminded me of a little saying. It says, "If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once." Think about that. We're going to touch that later on. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. Amen. Praise God. You see, to be born twice, we are born when we were given birth by our mothers. The second way to be born is to be born again. And what is it saying is that if you are born into this world and you are not born again, you're going to die twice. And we're going to see what it means for someone to die twice. Praise God. And the second death is a terrible death. Terrible death. Praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Now it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Remember now, when we looked at Psalm 16 and 10, what did it tell us? It tells us that David prophesied that Jesus' body would not be left to rot in the grave. Amen. That's very important. Very important. In other words, the story of Jesus' coming, his death, burial, and resurrection is not a fluke. It was prophesied thousands of years before. It was prophesied. Amen? So, David prophesied that his body would not rot. And here we see that they came to the tomb and they found that the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the devil sent some people to tell a lie, to say that they stole his body and hid it. They wanted to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they told a lie. Amen? Verse 4. It says, watch with me carefully. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Alright? How many men? Two men. Now, this is interesting, because in other accounts of the visit to the tomb, in Matthew and in Mark, Matthew and Mark each recorded that one man was seen. One man was seen. Luke said two men were seen. Now, does this mean that the scriptures are inaccurate? Does it mean that there is confusion in the word of God? Well, I tell you, one day, you know, I never really noticed that for some time. That Matthew and Mark were saying differently from Luke. And one day, an atheist bucked me up. And he said to me, Rev, there is confusion in the Bible. Say, Matthew and Mark say it's one angel, and Luke says there are two angels. There's confusion. And I said, praise God. Well, I never agree with him, you know, but I never have an answer. I just say, praise God. But guess what? Excuse the patois. I go study it. I go research it. Amen? Praise God. Amen? And, you know, it's very important that we understand what is happening here. And you know, you need to understand it. You need to understand how the people in those days used to think and speak. Just like how, you know, Jamaicans have a way of talking, and when they say certain things, they emphasize certain things and they might leave out other things. In those days, they had a way of talking and describing things. And it says here, in this note that I have, although Matthew speaks of one angel, not two, in Matthew 28, 2, and Mark of a young man in white, Mark 16 and verse 5, it says here, this is not strange, because frequently only the spokesman is noted. That was how they wrote in those days. Frequently only the spokesman is noted. They don't talk about if somebody else is accompanying him. Frequently, not all the time, but frequently. It says, and an accompanying figure is not mentioned. Words and posture often change in the course of events. So these variations are not necessarily contradictory. They are merely evidence of independent accounts. Now for me, you know, what is important is that when you read these accounts, there are certain facts that are present in all the accounts. Fact number one, the tomb was empty. Fact number two, Jesus' body could not be found. Amen? Praise God. And fact number three, he appeared unto people, unto persons with his glorified body. And that's most important. Amen? Praise God. And I'm sure if you were to read it and analyze it, that you would, you know, you would find some other things that were present in all three accounts. Amen? But that's very important. The tomb was empty. He is risen and he's alive. That's the important thing. Praise God. Amen. So it says in verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, and this is before Jesus died. This is what Jesus told them. Amen? This is what Jesus told them. Listen carefully. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So Jesus told them that he was going to be delivered into the hands of cruel men, and that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be killed, and that on the third day he was going to rise from the dead. Amen? He told them. Hallelujah. But some of them did not understand it. Just like how there are persons in here today who don't understand it. But he told them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's drop down to verse 36 through to 46. It says, now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, and I want you to note his words carefully, because we are talking about resurrection. We are talking about eternal life. We are talking about going to be with Jesus. Very important. He said, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. strength. Now we in our culture, people believe in dopey. What is a dopey? A dopey is supposed to be the spirit of somebody who died and came back. But that's not so. That's a form of belief that we have in our culture. But it's not based upon the Bible. Because in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, we saw that when the rich man, who was a wicked man, an evil man, a sinner man, when he died, immediately he was taken to hell. He never turned no dopey and go around the place and trouble nobody. He never need no revivalist to stomp up on the grave and seal the grave so that the spirit don't come out. Which is all nonsense. Amen? The rich man went to hell, and Lazarus, he was immediately in the bosom, resting on the bosom of Abraham, which is in the heavenly realm. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus said, peace be with you. They were frightened. They thought he was a spirit or a dopey. And he said to them, verse 38, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Some of us doubt even now about the resurrection. It says, behold, my hands and my feet. You know, this is important because what Jesus is doing here is describing the type of body that you and I will have when we rise up from the dead. Amen? You want to know what your body is going to be like? You want to know what you're going to look like in the resurrection? Take note. Amen? Or some religions believe, Hindu believe that, I think it's the Hindu, when you die, you come back as a lizard, or you come back as a scorpion, or you come back as a cow. Yo, me no want to come back as no cow. Amen? That's a demotion. That's a demotion. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a demotion. I don't want to come back like that. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't want to turn a dopey around the earth and a trouble people. Of course, that doesn't happen. But that don't sound exciting to me. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He said, handle me and see. Handle me and see. He invited them to touch him. So his resurrected body had bones and had flesh. Praise God. Amen. Some of you wonder, in the life to come, will I be able to eat jerk fish and jerk pork and jerk chicken? Well, let us see what the scripture says. Hallelujah. And roast fish. Will I be able to have roast fish? Praise God. It says, but while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food here? Glory to God. You know, sometimes the devil come and tell us some nonsense about how life in heaven is going to be boring. This don't sound boring to me. Amen? Praise God. So he says, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. Anybody here love broiled fish? Hold up your hand if you love broiled fish. And a piece of honeycomb. Anybody love honeycomb? You never had honeycomb yet? Honeycomb tastes nice. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he took it and ate it. And ate in their presence. Amen. So we're going to have a body like Jesus' body. We're going to have a body like Jesus' body. And we're going to be able to eat broiled fish and honeycomb. And all the delights of heaven. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's not mentioned in this passage, but they were in a room, the Bible says, and on one occasion, and the doors and the windows were closed, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared before them in the room. So that body, although it has bone and flesh, the walls can't keep it out. You can just move through the wall. Wow. What a body. Amen. I'm looking forward to that body. Amen. This one getting cranky. Praise God. But I'm going to get a new body. Amen. A better body. Glory to God. The Bible tells us we're going to get a body in which there is no sickness. Hallelujah. There is no death. Hallelujah. We just have eternal life. Amen. What a wonderful body. Brethren, I will forsake everything to get that body. It is worth it. The Bible says that a certain man went into a field and he found a treasure. A treasure, a very expensive treasure. And he left it there and he went and he sold everything that he had and he bought the treasure. Eternal life is worth everything that we have in this life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we need to rejoice because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I. He was buried. He rose from the dead so that you and I might rise from the dead and that we might have a body like unto his body. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, then, incidentally, in another account, I think it's in Matthew, it says that after his resurrection, he appeared one time to over 500 persons. I mean, if it's one or two, you can say, well, boy, you know, maybe they had glaucoma or they had cataract over them eye and they wasn't really seeing well. But 500 persons witnessed the resurrected Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 50. It says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It's so wonderful to be blessed of Jesus. Hallelujah. And blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Amen. But he went up into heaven as the Son of God returning to his Father. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, to save you and I. Amen. And in the fullness of time, after his resurrection, he returned to his Father. That's why he went back to heaven, because he was originally from heaven. That's where he came. Went back to his Father. He had done his job. He had come and put on flesh. took on the sins of sinners and died on the cross for them. He conquered death. Amen. Praise God. So what about us? What does the Bible have to say about our future? Enoch went up to heaven. Elijah went up to heaven. Jesus Christ went back to heaven after his resurrection. What about you and I? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself, not an angel, but the Lord himself. I love that. You know, Jesus really loves us. He's not going to send anybody for us. He's going to come himself in person. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Praise God. Some people, when they come to church, they don't like to hear people shout. They say, oh, my ears can't take the shouting. I wonder what will happen when Jesus come and shout. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall descend from where? From heaven. He came from heaven. He went back to heaven. And in the fullness of time, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Praise God. I'm getting to love that trumpet. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if I'll ever make it to church, but I'm actually learning to play a trumpet now. I don't get past the part yet, but praise God, I'm working on it. Amen. I'm practicing for that day when the trumpet of God shall sound. Hallelujah. So, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I want you to know the word first. Look at the neighbor and say, first. It's important. You know why? Because sinners will not rise until 1,000 years later. Sinners will not rise until 1,000 years later. And we're going to see that in the scripture. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that as a Christian, you know, you're sacrificing this life. You say, I am not going to be associated with sin. I am not going to be associated with wickedness. And on that day, you're going to get proper treatment. Amen? You're going to rise from the dead first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you, no man, no woman, no sweetheart can do better than that. I don't care what the man promising you. He cannot do better than what Jesus have in store for you. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. When somebody come to you and show you a scheme to rob somebody or to trick somebody or to seduce somebody, tell them go away. Go away. I stand with my Jesus. Amen. I stand with my Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. You see that first that we looked at a while ago, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the first resurrection. And we're going to read about it now. Amen? The first resurrection. It says, 20 verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Amen? You will be blessed to be a part of the first resurrection. And if you don't make the first resurrection, then you will never make it again. Because the Bible says there is no repentance in the grave. There will be no church that you can run to and run down the altar to give your life to Jesus Christ so that you can make the first resurrection. Get luck. Amen? Praise God. So, it says, over such, listen to this, those who make the first resurrection, it says, over such, the second death has no power. You know death has power? Praise God. When my uncle was dying and the angel of death came, he said, no, I'm not ready. But he died. He died. Death has power. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Hallelujah. Hold on to Jesus. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Resist temptation. Because God has a position for you in Christ. Bible says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Eating broiled fish and eating honeycomb. And whatever other niceties will be provided in heaven. Hallelujah. All expenses paid. Thank you very much, ma'am. You won't need no debit card, no credit card. Hey, everything paid for on Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. People say life in heaven is going to be boring. Excuse me? What did we just read? It says that we shall be kings and priests of God, and we shall reign with him 1,000 years. That means that there will be territories, there will be cities, there will be nations, there will be principalities, and we will have a position of authority with God. That not boring, brethren. That's a lie. Not boring. Amen. It not boring. You know, if we're looking on, the Bible have a lot to tell us about life after. But we just make the devil stick, you know, just stick our mind on some little fool thinking. But it's there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God, you know, I own a house. But you know the Bible tells me about the house? It shall pass away. I work hard, you know, many years to pay for that house. But the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. So we can't worship that house. I'm just there for the time being. And the house is there for the time being. Amen? Some of you, you're killing up yourself over this life to get to possess as much as you can in this life. And you're going dead left it. I'm not saying you must desire to have a house. I have mine. And I love everybody in here to get a house. But don't worship that house. Because you're going dead left it. And if you're not dead, it's going to pass away. Heaven and earth. Don't care how much thousands of acres of land you have. It's going to pass away. Amen? Including the heavens. Praise God. That's why the disciples, you know, them just sell the land and give the money to the poor. Them sell them house and give the money to the poor. Them say, boy, what am I going to hold on to this one? They understood eternal life. Revelations chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. Drop down for me, Danny. Glory to God. Watch this now. You see, Jesus is telling us about life after. Amen? It says, this is John. He said, I saw the dead. Wow. He said, small and great, little children and big people. Little children and big people. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Amen? Praise God. There were some functions. You know, they have books for you to sign in. To say that they want to know who was in attendance. Amen? Guest book. Well, God has a book, and it's called the book of life. Sometimes I see people, you know, they're tussling and fighting to sign in the book because they want, when the prime minister look in the book or somebody of importance look in the book, they see their names. But Jesus has a book of life. And it's important that your name be written in that book. Amen? For your name to be written in that book, you have to be born again. It says, and the dead were judged according to their works. Can you imagine? Some, you know, sometimes when people die, we say, oh, well, thank God, they have no more problems. They are now gone to sleep. Sleep, my babe. You know them when wake up? In the judgment, the dead is going to wake up. Amen? And the Bible says they're going to be judged according to what is written in the books. Can you imagine? God has a secretary now who takes notes. Can take notes fast. Notes are being taken about our lives. Notes are being taken, you know, what we do and what we don't do. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things they were written, which were written in the books. Watch this. It says the sea gave up the dead. That means nobody can hide from God, you know. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. In other words, death and Hades
You know, it's hell, the grave, everywhere gave up the dead to be judged by God. You know, as we understand this, we should understand the love of Jesus. You see, Jesus died for us because he doesn't want any of us to go through this. He doesn't want us to be judged and to be condemned to eternal damnation. That's why he came and died on the cross. It says, watch this. It says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And as I shared on Good Friday, you know, in hell, the Bible says, their worms do not die. Their worms do not die. In other words, there are worms that will be eating the bodies of those people, and the worms don't die, and they can't die, and their body can't finish. Now, some people don't think that preachers should talk about this. But it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. You can't deceive people and fool people. Everybody must know what is about, what is ahead, with or without Jesus. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. In closing, it says, it gives a list of persons that are gonna experience the second death. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. You know that people love to tell lies? People love to tell lies, you know. Some say it's a white lie. Some say it's a brown lie. But you know this is what the Bible says? All, for liars, it says all liars. It never said all sorcerers or all cowards. It says all liars. The Bible says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God don't like lies. You know why? Because lies oppose truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He's truth. He's against lies. All liars. It says, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death. Praise God. So, brethren, that's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection that Jesus Christ experienced and is offering us. That resurrection is that we might have the opportunity to be born twice and to die once. That resurrection is to deliver us from a condition in which we're born once and die twice. If you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means that you have been born once. And if you were to die now, you would die twice. You would die again. If you are here and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to just leave your seat, come up here, and allow me to pray with you so that you can be assured of eternal life with God. Amen? Anybody? Anybody ready for eternal life? Anybody here ready to say, you know, devil, I have walked with you long enough. You have nothing good to offer me. I am going to serve God. Is there anyone? Songwriter says, come, just as you are. Don't wait until you become perfect. That's not how it works. Not even Christians are perfect. But we are righteous in God's sight because we have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One more time. Anybody else? Are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Just come. Leave your seat and come right here now. And let me pray with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Guess what? I've done my job. Amen. I have said what I believe God wants me to say. I don't know how well I did it, but I did it. Amen. Praise God. Could you stand, please?